A house is made of wood and stone, but only love can make a home. Welcome to the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, helping you make your home into one you'll love even more. Here are your hosts, Dan Hansen and Betsy Thompson.
Well, happy Saturday, everybody. We're glad you're out there. It's great to have people out there.
Yeah, it is.
Mom, hello.
Yeah.
I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson.
Now, today, we're going to talk about fixing a hole in your wall. And I know that sounds horribly, horribly boring.
Yes, but it's something that a lot of people struggle with. They can maybe patch the hole, but you can still see where that patch was.
It's and that's like what's depressing. When you see this wonderful wall, something happens to it, and now you worry that it's never going to be the same again. Well, don't worry, because with the right steps, it can be just as good as it ever was.
Right. We're also excited to be in the studio with two of Holland's finest, officers Dan Kuning and Adam Sokolov, join us. And we're going to talk about all kinds of stuff that's going to keep us safe this holiday season.
And speaking of the holidays, well, the season is fun and exciting.
Yeah.
I love presents. I love Christmas. I love everything about it. It can also be incredibly hectic.
Right. There's so much to do. We've got shopping and parties and it just seems like one thing after another. And by the time we figure it all out, it's gone, and we are exhausted, and we haven't had much fun.
It happens every Christmas for me. I'm cleaning up after everybody's unwrapped stuff, and I think everything is over, and I've spent the whole time preparing and just being busy and hectic.
Right.
It's too bad. Well, we're going to try to help with all of that. Now, we can't help with the busyness and all of that part of it, but we might be able to help you create a little bit of peace in your home.
Right. And we're going to suggest that you go Scandinavian in order to get this piece.
So start dieting. Somehow that's going to help you, right? Isn't that a diet?
It is a diet. We'll talk about that after the new year. That can be your resolution.
That's right. Diets are later.
I'm talking about taking inspiration from Scandinavian decorating. It's a hugely popular style right now. It's all about simple elegance, soft, understated colors, decluttering spaces, and it has a huge emphasis on light. Now, that could possibly be because they're a little bit like us, and in the wintertime,
it
is quite dark there.
So light is a premium.
Exactly. So you want as much of that as you can possibly get. So if you're feeling like maybe Christmas needs a little more silent night instead of that rocking around the Christmas tree kind of thing, we can help you with that.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice. Way to go.
Well, at least I didn't start singing.
Right. I appreciate that. Yeah. So what we're recommending is that you just start by choosing appropriately sized decorations and appropriate quantities. You know, what you want to do is ask yourself as you put things out, does this piece showcase the light?
Right.
You know, does it showcase the charm and the space of the room, or do they just mask it? Is it just clutter? You know, so many of us have collections of things, a Dickens village, snow globe, snow men. And what we want to do is put everything out.
Yes, we drag out our boxes and just unload.
Right. We want it to look like snowmen have taken over. Right?
Right.
That's what we're trying to do. But honestly, that's probably not the best way to go if we want to create a more peaceful, subdued, you know, a place of calm in the midst of the holiday busyness.
Right. Scandinavian decorating is all about minimalism. So maybe you only take a couple of your snow globe collection and put them
out.
Right.
The best ones.
And pack away the rest of them. Same thing with the Dickens village. Pack away everything that you don't absolutely love. And a lot of us buy huge Christmas trees, the biggest one we can find to shove into our room.
Well, that's how we go looking for Christmas trees. We go with the measurements of what we can.
Let's see. It can be 8 feet tall and just hit the ceiling.
And then we find one that fits that. And then we cram it into our space. And what happens is outdoors, it looks like one thing.
It looks very small.
And then you put it inside and you realize, oh, my goodness.
There is no room
to even walk around this thing.
Right. So
minimize.
Exactly. Think about maybe a potted tree in a basket or some type of decorative pot. Maybe think about getting one of those cute little Charlie Brown Christmas trees, you know, the little wispy ones, and put it on a table
in the
corner.
If space is very tight, that's an option.
Exactly.
But even in a normal room, a smaller tree can still look great.
Yeah, it's absolutely.
It's all about how you put it together.
Right.
Don't feel like you've got to fill the space with the biggest thing you can find. That's the bottom line here.
Right. And speaking of Christmas trees, a lot of us like to put them in front of our windows. But Scandinavian decorating is all about letting in that natural light that we get so little of this time of year. So move your tree back away from the window. I know you want all of your neighbors to see it and really show it off. But that natural light, there's so little of it. Let it shine in. Move your tree maybe to another corner or just move it away from that window.
Well, it's important because that natural lighting gives us a feeling of openness, of airiness. It creates a sense of calm. And also, just the light, the sun, we all know how that feels.
It makes when you us get, happy.
Right. Days and days of dark and cloudy and gray. Mm-hmm. And if we've got everything, you know, the windows covered and the blinds pulled and trees in front of the windows, it prevents that from coming in. It's very important to our mood to keep that in. As silly as it sounds, it really is true.
Right.
So maximize the amount of light that can come into the home.
Right. We're talking about Christmas decorating here on the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, and I'm suggesting that everyone goes a little bit Scandinavian with their decorating this year. Pare it down, go nice and simple. Another way to do that is to coordinate the colors of your room with your decorations. So if your room is already a neutral color, then stick with some neutral colors in your decorating. Don't bring in a hodgepodge of colors that seem to clash with each other. Pare it down, go simple, bring in some metallics. They're great. You can mix and match. It brings just a little bit of that festive holiday glitter in there, and you can pair it with just about anything that you've already got.
Right. Another thing to do is to swap out the colored lights for white ones.
Yes.
Again, it's going to minimize, it's going to simplify everything. And what it's going to do is, you'll be amazed, the peace and the calm that it starts to create, the atmosphere that it starts to create.
Right.
You know, the colored lights, it's all fun. Every part of this is fun.
Right.
But what a lot of people don't realize is that the white and all of that can be fun as well.
Right.
But it also comes with this sense of peace and calm. And if that's what you're looking for and in need of, as many of us are this holiday season, that's a way to get it.
Exactly. There's another way to get peace and calm, and that is to keep the decorations that have movement and sound to a minimum or non-existent. I recommend taking the batteries out of the ones, you know, if you have that dancing snowman that you walk by and it automatically turns on, take the batteries out. We still have the decoration.
We have a bathroom snowman that is motion activated, and he makes off-color comments. He came from my mother-in-law, and the children love him, but he scares me to death in the middle of the night because I always forget that he's there. And all of a sudden there's this deep voice, hello.
That's creepy.
What is happening here? Anyway, he would be a great thing to get the batteries out of. The flashing lights, the sparkling lights, all of that stuff, tone it down. Stuff with movement, stuff with sound, bring it down a little bit.
Right.
There's enough of that out there.
Exactly. When you get home, you want the peace.
Be peaceful. Right. Exactly.
Now, lastly, decorate your home to showcase the cool architectural elements that you may have. Maybe a banister. If you have a really beautiful banister, highlight it with just some very simple garland and a very simple bow. Don't go over the top and put, you know, sliding penguins. I've seen that on Pinterest where they're sliding down the banister.
It's very festive.
Right, but it
very
covers
crazy.
It up. If you have a beautiful mantle, maybe you want to highlight that. Just some simple garland, knit stockings, things like that. Very simple. That's what Scandinavian decorating is all about.
Bottom line, less is more.
Yes.
Less is more. I think that's all I need to say. When we come back, we've got two of Holland's finest in the studio with us to talk about personal safety over the upcoming holiday season. Stay tuned. Repco Light and Benjamin Moore present a shout out to painting contractors.
Every day you transform the world around you by adding new color. And while you may not be Van Gogh, the end result is still a work of art.
Benjamin Moore's unmatched quality helps assure you of a happy customer every time. Just ask this contractor.
This is Dave Hooker with DH Finishing. Quality is the key, so I choose Benjamin Moore and Repco Light.
The 6 West Michigan Repco Light stores and Port City Paints in Muskegon, where painting pros go for Benjamin Moore.
Helping you turn your house into your dream home. This is the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, presented by Benjamin Moore on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
And we're back. And thanks for tuning in, everybody. We're glad you're listening to the Repco Light Home Improvement Show. That is so fun to say. The Repco Light Home Improvement Show. This is episode 34. I've said that a number of times, and it's fun every time.
Right.
I love having a radio show.
We know.
I know. I have a shirt that says, I have a radio show. Do you?
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
I've got no friends. I'm Dan Anson.
And I'm Betsy Thompson.
Now, let's just get to what we want to talk about right now. because I've already taken up a lot of time and I'm eating up more as I go.
Yep.
We're in the hectic holiday season right now, and we wanted to take a step back from regular home improvement stuff right now and instead talk to some people who will help me and my family, you and your family, all stay safe this season.
Right. So we're in the studio with officers Dan Kuning and Adam Sokolov from the Holland Department of Public Safety, and we're actually hoping to cover quite a wide range of topics today. Everything from online shopping and scams that you can find to winter driving, and we'll just kind of see how far we get with all of this.
Pretty hopeful agenda here. We'll see how much we can cover.
Exactly. So Dan and Adam, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having
Thank
us.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a pleasure.
All right. Now it's the holiday season, and Facebook seems to be full of scams and fraud alerts and, oh, be on the lookout for this. What kinds of things should we be looking for this time of year as far as frauds and scams? Are you seeing anything?
You know, that's a good statement, because anything and everything really can be a scam. Mm-hmm. And we don't want to scare anybody, because, you know, you have to, you love social media, you love doing all this stuff, but you just have to make sure you're very careful.
Mm-hmm.
When you answer your phone, when you're talking to someone through whatever communication you have, if you don't know them, and as soon as they start asking you to send money or to go, you know, money order this or buy some prepaid cards, and yeah, just scratch the back number off, and we just need these cards because you owe some more, you know, money on something, you have to start throwing up red flags, because there's so many scams, whether it's a lotto type thing, or I mean, we take so many calls where you really can't say one type of thing.
Right.
Obviously, in the spring, you have your IRS scams. We've been making people aware of that.
The IRS is running scams?
Yeah, you know, the IRS.
Supplement the income?
From what I'm told is they will never call you, which is true, but people call and they buy these prepaid cards, and when you scratch the number off, they punch those numbers in, that money's gone instantly. They do this multiple times. They'll try and get as much money out of people as they can, and it's just, you know, one of many scams. So it's just, we want people to be safe, have a good holiday, and just always be thinking of that kind of thing. Adam, you had one.
Yeah, one of the scams that is more recent is, you know, 'tis the holiday season, a time for family.
Right.
Singles are on single sites looking for matches.
Mm-hmm.
And these single sites, they build relationships. And with those relationships, as they get to build up trust, maybe over a week or a few days, and it becomes to look like something maybe furthering, they'll try and suck you in by saying, hey, here's the deal. I can deposit some money if I could have your checking account. So with that checking account number, once it gets released, they tell the person on the other end, hey, I just need you to buy two Apple gift cards, for example, at a certain amount, say $100, $150.
Mm-hmm.
After you get those, take a picture of them with the code scratched off, so that we can see the codes on them. Once I see that those codes are there, we'll release the money that we deposit into your checking account since you gave us your checking number. So with that, you could say, you know, they could be saying $2,000 or $2,500. Once they see those Apple gift cards and the code on the back and they see that they actually work and they're plugged in, that money becomes fraudulent, and there was never any intention, but they understand that the bank would take a few days before it would not clear anyways.
Wow.
So being aware, the awareness is huge. You know, if you're doing stuff online and you're giving out checking account numbers or your social security number, that's a red flag to begin with. Or somebody's asking for that and you don't know that person well enough, probably not a good idea. On the same sense, you know, you have to be careful on some of these recorded messages when they're trying to listen to your voice. So they're asking you a question and you're saying, you know, they say, maybe we just need you to answer yes to the following questions, or yes or no to the following questions. That recorded voice has been used. So they're holding on to that, and maybe they're using that in some other automated scam. So it's a trick.
I mean,
they're criminals, you know, it's an intent. You know, their intent is to somehow defraud somebody, and they're trying to do it as easy as possible to a lot of people. This is pretty easy.
Well, and I know right now, this always happens this time of year. I'll order online, you know, for the kids for Christmas, and I'll start getting emails that say my package can't be delivered, you know, or I've got to send some more information over here.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of sucks you in. I also had one a couple of years ago that said, we need to figure out this billing. You know, you owe us $650. It's exactly what you said. It freaks you out.
Yeah. You know, when in doubt, contact your police department or ask questions, because it's better to ask sooner than later. You know, we hate taking calls where people get scammed out of thousands of dollars, and you know, you just kind of you look at them and there's, you know, this money's gone, and you know, it's going to be very difficult, if not impossible, to find out who did this. So it's
the beauty is too is that banks are so aware of this. You know, I think you should have a good relationship with your bank anyways, whatever that institute is, because they have their own investigation units also. So some of the stuff that local agencies can't figure out, maybe they are a little bit deeper, but maybe they are in more support and they can do more things than local law enforcement also. I mean, they're the ones that ultimately you have to make that report to. So anytime you contact that bank, and if there's been money taken away from you, they're going to refer you over to the law enforcement anyways for some sort of police report. To show that it was documented, and then they, you know, they figure it out behind the scenes.
You're listening to the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, and we're in the studio with officers Dan Kuning and Adam Sokolov from the Holland Department of Public Safety. All kinds of things to say there. I really struggled with your last name.
Hey, you made it. You made it.
Got a little nervous there for a second. But we're talking about just personal safety, personal, you know, things that we can do as we're heading into Christmas season and we're dealing with shopping and all those things, giving out our numbers and stuff online.
Don't do it.
Well, you have to give it to places like Amazon
Certain places, like that.
You do get sucked into some of this stuff. And so the big bottom line here is to just be aware. Pay attention. Slow down a little bit. I know one of the scams I just read about is just websites that will tweak the address a little bit. And then they build a website that looks just like the place you think it is.
Sure.
And if you don't pay attention, you can get sucked into giving away personal information.
I have a friend
who
just had that. She just posted a thing on Facebook. She said, yeah, I got this email from Amazon about my delivery of my package. And she said, I didn't order anything from Amazon. So if you click on the website, it takes you to something that looks exactly like Amazon. You're supposed to verify your information, blah, blah, blah. And she said, I didn't order anything.
Sure.
So it's got to be some kind of scam. So just
about paying
know
attention.
Know what you and your significant other might be ordering, just to be aware.
Sure.
So with that said, Betsy just brought up Amazon. One of the things that is a concern or people wonder about is we're having packages delivered. Right? So there's
massive amounts to your house, right?
Well, no, Betsy, let's not tell all the bad people. Yeah, but we have it guarded.
Probably not as many.
You have a guard dog.
I know he shops on
you shop a lot.
It's easier. And that's what it's coming down to.
How do you protect the packages?
Exactly. I mean, it's really easy to buy online. And people are busy. Mm-hmm. People with parties and everything going on and work. So it's easier to just order online, whether you're sitting in, you know, a drive-through and you're trying to get 16 things done. So here's where it comes down to is what's your availability and what's your trust, you know, in your neighborhood or what anybody can drive through any neighborhood. So you have to just be mindful of that. The awareness level, you know, has to be heightened. If it's that important, if it's a computer, if it's something that the box is obviously going to come that's clearly marked that it's of something high value, then you should probably be thinking to have that sent when someone is going to be home.
Sure.
Make those arrangements. Or, you know, if you're at work during normal work hours or the delivery times, I know they extend delivery times now, but if you know you're going to be at work, have it sent to your work so you're there. Or have it sent to a relative's house that you trust that you know are going to be home. It's just making that extra step to make sure that it's your security. It's your package. You want it for that reason. Make sure you're going to get it somehow.
In the same sense, like we mentioned earlier, too, when you're shopping store to store, and let's say you're buying all the presents for your kids and you're out having a great time, don't leave that stuff in your van, maybe where it's visible. I know we always put it in the trunk or cover it up. Try and hide it. That way, at least you're not making that person that just happens to walk by, oh, what's in the car? You know what I mean? And lock your doors, of course, too. Very important.
I put a tarp over it that says there's nothing of value under this.
Yeah, but whatever it takes to prevent from becoming a vet. And sometimes there is nothing you can do. It's just going to happen. But as long as you're doing everything you can and taking all the, you know, the best measures, you're going to have the best chance of having a great holiday and not running into this.
Well, we're getting to the end of this segment. I'm wondering if you guys can hang around through the break.
And absolutely.
Yeah.
Sure. We'll keep going. All right. We'll be back with Officers Dan and Adam after the break. Stay tuned. Repco Light and Benjamin Moore present a shout out to painting contractors.
Every day you transform the world around you by adding new color. And while you may not be Van Gogh, the end result is still a work of art.
Benjamin Moore's unmatched quality helps assure you of a happy customer every time. Just ask this contractor.
This is Gordy from Harima Painting. Benjamin Moore is my paint. Repco Light is my store.
The six West Michigan Repco Light stores and Port City Paints in Muskegon, where painting pros go for Benjamin Moore.
If you want to take your DIY skills up a rung, the Repco Light Home Improvement Show is here to give you a boost on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
Well, welcome back, everybody. I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson. And we are back in the studio with Dan and Adam because they decided to hang around and answer some more of our burning questions on safety. So this is a big thing out there. People have debit cards and some people have credit cards. What's the difference? Because I've heard that there is a difference between the two when you use them. What's the difference here?
Sure. So great question. Obviously, not everyone, like you said, not everyone has a credit card. But if you're buying online and you're using either a credit card or a debit card, your debit card is direct access into your banking account.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're using that and that number gets taken somehow, whether it's copied or of any sort, they have direct contact into that checking account, which is the access into more money.
Right.
In terms of your credit card usually comes with some sort of stability, you could say, that if something was to happen or you check your credit card statements constantly or even at the end of the month, if you notice something that's of concern mm-hmm. and you bring it up to them, there's usually no ands, ifs, or buts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if the credit card company looks into it and you're telling them that this isn't your purchase, they're going to take care of that. When it goes into a debit card and the bank is asking questions, they have to do their investigation. So even though it could be a large amount, they're going to probably place that on hold and you're going to be out that money for an extra period of time until they can figure it out, which could be a burden during this time of the year, obviously.
Yeah.
Now, does it work? I mean, maybe this is so dumb. I don't do the money at my house. I do the lawn. But
that's best.
So a debit card, do I potentially ever get that money back?
Yeah, you know, banks are good. Banks have come a long way. You know, I mean, obviously scams have gotten a lot harder. So banks have come a long way, but that's another reason why you should have a good relationship with your bank.
Right, because you mentioned that in the first segment,
exactly.
How important
talk
that
to
is.
Talk to them. Tell them, you know, ask them. Tell them, say, I'm not familiar with this. I know it shows my card number on this statement, but I'm not familiar with this phone number and I'm not familiar with this company. I don't think we made that charge.
But a credit card is a little quicker turnaround just because of the nature of
the safety. There's a little bit more safety implementation that's put into credit cards. You know, when you're dealing with the major credit card companies, Discover, MasterCard, Visa, whatever it may be, they just have put a little bit more thought, I guess you would say, and they want you as a customer
exactly.
Anyways.
Right.
All right. So those are the questions we kind of came with, and I guess we got a little bit of time left, probably 4 minutes or so.
Mm-hmm.
Just curious, you've got a bunch of listeners out there, and heading into the holiday season, what are some of the things that you'd let them know?
Well, I would, you know, I think there's a couple things. You know, a lot of travel happens,
mm-hmm.
and with travel, a lot of things, depending on the time of the year, obviously, mm-hmm. over on this side of the state, on the Western Michigan Lakeshore, you get bad weather,
mm-hmm.
or you get just going out of town to visit family, starting with the visiting. If you're going to be out of town for a long time, make sure you're letting people know that you're going to be out of town. So hopefully you've built relationships with your neighbors to let
mm-hmm.
them know, hey, listen. And here's the deal. We're going to be out of town. Maybe you're contacting the post office to tell them to hold your mail or the
sure.
or the newspaper carriers, if anybody gets the newspaper anymore.
There's four or five.
Exactly.
People.
Exactly. Just to let them know. But the additional step to that is you can contact your local law enforcement agency and tell them, look, we're going to be out of town for the entire Christmas break while our kids are off. So that's 2 weeks. Is it possible that somebody could just keep an extra eye? We've let our neighbors know the only person that's supposed to be there is a caretaker that's going to be checking on some inside plants or whatever it is, so that everybody's aware that if these lights are on, that's a red flag, okay? Instead of waiting that 2 weeks to come home to find that your house has been ransacked and there was nobody that had any idea of what was going on.
So law enforcement agencies will typically do that?
Absolutely.
Do you vacuum and clean and get everything ready for me?
That is wishful thinking on your part.
Charge extra for snow blowing.
I would. Especially at his house.
I didn't even think of that. Right. That's a really good idea. That is not something I would have thought about.
Right. Yeah, for those snowbirds that do go to Florida or they're gone for a while, if your driveway isn't being plowed or something like that, people are going to know you're gone.
Right.
So whether you're keeping up on that stuff, maybe have some lights that, you know, with some timers, always a good thing, or motion lights outside.
Mm-hmm.
All that stuff is good, but definitely call your police department, and that is something that we do. Where we walk around, we'll check your house, just make sure it's secure, that nothing, you know, is suspicious, and hopefully when you return home, you come back to a happy home there.
Very cool.
Now, you mentioned lights on a timer. I have a quick question about that, because it seems to me, I know a lot of people who put lights on timers, and they have, like, a single light that is on a timer. If you have that single light that goes off every night at the same time, and someone is kind of scoping out your house, isn't that a good sign that, hey, there's probably nobody home because it's only that one light that goes on at the same
so
time?
You're so paranoid.
That's just your routine. You go to bed at that time after maybe your favorite show.
And you never turn on any other lights?
Right.
So should you have multiple lights on separate timers just so that it seems a little bit more random? I mean,
that's definitely going above and beyond, no doubt. But I would say your driveway, plowing your driveway, you definitely can tell if someone's gone by maybe if they have snow buildup or by the front door and that kind of thing. So if you have a son or neighbor, family member, or someone that can just kind of maybe keep tabs of things, that is important too, and that can help.
Absolutely. We could also get cutouts. I've seen that in movies of things that look like people. Well, that was Home Alone.
You watch
Home
way Alone. Too much Home
yeah,
Alone.
Yeah, that's right.
I thought you were referring to that. You mentioned the, you know.
We could
that's
do
kind
that.
Of what I was thinking. But
yeah. All right. So anything else? Last minute or so.
You know, snow's going to start to fly.
Yes.
Weather and ice and everything that can make West Michigan nasty. So prepare. Take your time. Don't be in a hurry. Don't wait till the last minute. Just prepare, look ahead, see what it's going to be like, and drive to the conditions, basically.
Yeah.
So watch
any
your
recommendations
speed.
Of stuff in my car, like a kit, things that I should have?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's always nice to be prepared, obviously, but in case you get stuck, you're going to want to have warm things, you know, so the extra blanket. Sometimes people will put a shovel in their trunk just in case they get, you know, into a place that they get snowed in and they need to dig out. Salt can always be, you know, an extra thing. The antifreeze that has, you know, the heavier potion, I guess you would say, to break ice. All those things are great to have. Better to be prepared than to be unprepared, obviously.
Just take it easy. Keep an eye out. No texting.
I was just going to say, no texting and driving.
Yeah. Give yourself some extra time. You know, leave a little bit early and make sure you get to where you want to go safe. It is very important. So.
That's exactly.
Yeah, you guys don't want to go out to these calls.
Yeah. not when you're in the middle of your Christmas party.
All right. Exactly.
Well, Dan and Adam, thanks so much for taking time to be with us today and kind of dish out all this stuff and hopefully keep us safe over the holiday season.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Now, holes in our drywall can be easy to fix. Really, all you need is a great big family portrait or maybe a strategically placed vase, and voila, there you go.
Or,
it's all fixed.
Or you could actually patch it the correct way. How about that?
Yeah, you could do that.
I
suppose that's an option.
Right. When we come back, we'll walk you through the correct way to patch it and paint it. Stay tuned.
Repcolite and Benjamin Moore present a shout out to painting contractors.
Every day you transform the world around you by adding new color. And while you may not be Van Gogh, the end result is still a work of art.
Benjamin Moore's unmatched quality helps assure you of a happy customer every time. Just ask this contractor.
This is Dave with Reckmacher Cabinetry. I get my Benjamin Moore paint from Repcolite.
The 6 West Michigan Repcolite stores and Port City Paints in Muskegon, where painting pros go for Benjamin Moore.
Helping you turn your house into your dream home. This is the Repcolite Home Improvement Show, presented by Benjamin Moore on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
And we're back. I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson.
Now, I do want to say, before we move into the topic, the riveting topic of patching holes, which is going to be better than it sounds.
It is.
I know I've really downplayed the value of this segment.
Right.
But it's going to be very good.
Yes, it will.
But before we get to that, I do want to say that we just got done talking about credit card fraud, things that happen when you're buying online, and all this identity theft that can happen. And I do have a solution for everybody out there who's concerned about that.
Oh, really?
You buy local.
Yes.
You just don't buy online.
Yes.
It's Small Business Saturday right now, and we would be remiss if we didn't mention that. You know, RepcoLite's a small business.
Right.
And we really encourage everybody out there to get out there and support your local small businesses, restaurants, shops, you name it. It's
right.
What makes the community work.
It is what makes the community work. Now, let's move on to the topic at hand, because...
What? Because my stuff was too boring for you? You just want to get on to the next thing?
To the more boring thing? Yes. No, because I have a very quick story to set this whole thing up. So, a few years ago, I had a friend who was hauling a Christmas tree, very appropriate time for this to come up, hauling a Christmas tree into the house, could not see where he was going, and put a giant hole in the wall with the trunk of
like
the tree.
Like a battering ram?
Yes.
Like he just ran into the house?
Yes.
I want to get this in the house as fast as possible.
Yes, because he could not see. He took that netting stuff that holds it together off before he took it in the house, which is really dumb, by the way.
Well, don't... I've...
Done
anyway,
that?
Yes, I did. I don't want this on. I want to see how full this tree is. Boing.
Boing.
Oh, it's going to be tough to get in the door now.
Yep, and you can't
see. So he did that, and he actually put a hole in the wall.
Yep. So then he has this big problem. How do I patch the hole? And if he had listened to the show, he would have known.
Well, we didn't do the show at that
point.
We
didn't. That's
too bad
for him.
So if he could have gone into the future,
boy,
you are throwing stones for no reason. Fixing holes in drywall, it really can be complicated.
Yes, it can.
For people who don't do that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a complicated process, but a lot of us look at that and wonder, how are we ever going to make that look good again? I'm sure for your friend, that was probably a little bit of a depressing start.
Yes.
Even if you know how to fix it, it's a depressing start.
Yes, it is.
But the good news is there's ways to do it. So let's talk about those right now and wrap up the show with that. For small holes, let's just start with that, the easy stuff. Small holes, dents, dings, pretty much everybody knows. Get some spackling compound, clean that hole out, make sure that it's not continuing to crumble.
Right.
And I guess less of a hole, we're talking nail hole type things, or dents in the drywall. Just make sure it's not continuing to crumble, fill it with spackling compound, do some sanding, and you're good to go. That's for small stuff.
Right. Now, there are some other things to consider if you're patching larger holes. There's the drywall patch. It's a metal plate that has a fiberglass mesh over top of it. Sometimes it's just a metal mesh that you can put over there. Comes in a variety of different sizes.
Now, we sell the full, it's a metal plate with the mesh, the self-adhesive mesh over it.
Right.
That's what we sell at RepcoLite.
Yeah.
And it's really simple to use. You just got to make sure you clean the area around the hole.
Yeah, so the patch sticks.
Right, and then you just peel the backing off, exposing the adhesive,
and
you just
it
press it on over the hole.
Yep.
The metal plate covers the hole and gives stability and rigidity and all of that. The mesh bonds to the wall, and then all you need to do is apply your mud.
Right. Now, the thing about mud is you want to do 3 light coats. You don't want to pile it on there to cover the thing up, because then you run the risk of cracking and things like that. So do light coats. Make sure you feather them out, which just means you get thinner the further away from the patch you get. And each time you put a coat on, you want to be sure that you're feathering just a little bit further out so that it starts to blend right into the existing wall.
Right. Now, this is probably the easiest method to get that hole covered up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is not necessarily the easiest method for mudding.
No.
I want to make that clear right off the bat. That metal plate has some thickness to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not crazy thick because it's made for this, but it is thicker than several layers of the joint tape that we typically would use. So feathering it out is very important to make sure that you don't get this bump in the wall. And in fact, when you've feathered out an area around a 1 foot patch, let's say a 1 foot square patch, it's going to be an area that covers a couple of feet or more just to make sure that it's even enough that you're not going to see that.
Right.
So the mudding is very important on that.
Just one quick tip when you are mudding, before you put another coat on, make sure you take your mudding knife and you're scraping off any ridges or things like that. It tends to happen when we're mudding. Just scrape those down so they're smooth so you don't continue to make that ridge, because otherwise it's going to be a problem when you want to sand it.
Right. Now, you're listening to the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, and we're talking about patching holes in drywall, because when that happens, a lot of us kind of scratch our heads for a while and try to figure out how we're going to make this look good again before mom comes home.
Or the wife.
Well, I guess that's what I meant.
Okay, then.
I lump myself in with the children. Mom's in charge of keeping us safe and making things look good. And when things look bad and we've caused it, we want to fix it before mom sees it.
Good plan.
Lots of husbands know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Anyway, one way to fill holes or to patch holes in drywall is to use that patch that we just talked about, that metal patch.
Yep.
Another way is to just cut the hole away, create some sort of backer, and then put a new piece of drywall in.
Right.
Now, some real quick ways to go about doing this that might save you a little bit of a headache is the first thing is get your new scrap of drywall, the part that you're going to use to replace the area with the hole, and cut a square or a rectangle area out of that that's bigger than the hole in the wall.
Right.
Then you take that piece that you just cut out, the piece that's going to be the replacement piece, center it over the hole on the wall, and then trace around it.
Yeah.
And that's going to give you an exact line to cut and remove so that your new piece will fit right in place.
Right. You just want to be sure when you're putting these new pieces in that you have something to support it in the back.
Otherwise, you're going to put it in,
it's going to fall through
like a coin in some kind of bad vending machine. You can't get it back, and you have to make a new one.
Exactly. So grab a piece of wood, screw it in behind that just to support. You can also actually cut the old drywall right down to the studs and use that as support. Just make sure you put something else in between to support it in the center.
Right. And hopefully you can understand what we're saying. It doesn't need to be the same thickness as the hole, the same width.
Nope.
I'm sorry. It just needs to be
It's like a brace.
Right. That you can put into that hole and then pull tight and then just screw on above and below.
Right.
And so now you created this vertical piece of wood in there, or I guess it could be horizontal depending on the situation, but that's going to give you that backer so you can set your new piece in there, screw the new piece into that piece that you put, and then just you need to start the taping and the mudding process.
Right, and that's really simple. Just mud over where you're going to put the tape on, mud over the whole thing, and do the same process as with the patch, three coats of mud. And at the very end, make sure that you sand all of this so that you're ready for paint.
Right. Now, when you've got it all ready, all smooth, now it's time, like Betsy said, to transition into the paint and the primer. And we would recommend Repco Light's Quick Sealer. That would be a great drywall primer. Put that on there, one coat of that, and then switch to your finish paint at that point. Now, you could, if you want, use a paint and primer all-in-one product.
Yes.
We don't typically recommend these products because there's so many reasons to use primer. Most of the time, the paint and primer all in one.
This is the one time you can get away with it.
This time it works. Just remember that any high-quality latex paint is usually considered a paint and primer all-in-one, even if it doesn't say so on the label. So don't feel you've got to go pay big bucks for something that is specifically labeled paint and primer in one.
Right.
Most anything will work. Repco Light's Hallmark, Repco Light's Carefree products, all of those will function as primer as well as finish paint in a situation like this. And so will pretty much any Benjamin Moore interior latex product.
Right. Now, when applying your paint, it's important to use good touch-up techniques so that it all blends in with the wall that you've already got painted.
Right, because the first part of the problem is patching the hole.
Yes.
The second part is painting it so that you can't see it anymore.
Right. Now, what people don't realize is paint actually changes over time as it's on your wall. Sometimes it fades, and if you're a person who washes their wall, that washing actually dulls the finish down. So if you put the new paint on, even if it's out of the same can that the original paint was from, there's still a chance that it could be darker or it could be a little bit shinier than what you're already seeing on your wall, because those years take their toll on your walls.
Right. So one of the things you can do to resolve that problem and really minimize or remove any touch-up problems that you have is to paint corner to corner.
Right.
You know, a lot of people don't want to hear that. That sounds like way too much work, and we're probably trying to sell way too much paint. It's going to be the best way.
Right.
Because when you see the new paint versus the old paint and you're talking about one wall to another, you're never going to notice it.
Right.
If you've got spots all over a wall with new paint where you did a lot of touch-ups, from an angle, you're going to see those.
Yeah.
So corner to corner is a great way to go. The other things you want to make sure you do is use the same tool that you used to apply the original paint with.
Right. This is especially important if you are doing just that little patch. You know, maybe you painted the wall not too long ago and the kids dinged it or whatever. you've patched it, and you're sure that the paint's going to match. So you want to be sure that if you brushed originally, you're brushing again so that the texture is the same. If you rolled, you want to be sure you're using the same napped roller cover as you used previously so that the stipple is all the same and uniform. And you want to, again, be sure that you're feathering things out. So take the paint and make sure you're feathering it into the old stuff so it just kind of fades away. That'll help it blend and not be seen.
Right. And sadly, that's going to do it for another episode of the Repcolite Home Improvement Show. They go so fast.
Yes.
But the good news is you can relive every hilarious and informative moment by going to repcolite.com, and you can listen to all the old episodes there. And you might as well check out the show notes, because if you do have any questions about this drywall repair stuff, mm-hmm. we've got better visuals there, because visuals yes. are very hard to do on the radio.
They are very hard.
Visuals are hard to do verbally.
Also, we'd love to have your feedback. Part of the fun of us doing this is interacting and meeting new people. So let us know what you're working on, maybe what questions you have, or even if you have something you want us to talk about, you can email us at radio@repcolite.com.
And don't forget to follow us on Facebook. We do a lot of contests, and we've got another cool one coming up soon. I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson. Remember, if you're about to lose your DIY sanity, we can help you fix that crazy.
And help you take that hole in your drywall and make it smooth as silk.
The milk?
Silk. It's not milk. It's soy milk, and it's not what I'm talking about anyway.
Okay.
I'm talking silk, like silk. I don't know. Silk is a fabric, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that. Smooth as silk.
Okay.
Thanks for listening.